May be seated.
Thank you. Greet you this afternoon in the name of our Lord Jesus. It is really a joy to be able to be here. I can't ever recall that we've ever had communion in the afternoon like this. Now maybe we did, and my forgetter is getting better, but I can't recall it. One thing I wanted to say before I get into the message, and that is that I wanted to say it this morning, and here again I forgot, but I wanted to thank particularly the ministry and their wives and so on, but their children, and again particularly the younger children. Dana's and Lynn's have younger children. And oftentimes they have to come early, or they have to stay late, or they have other meetings that they have to adjust with, and so on. And so I just want to say thank you to those children for being able to be flexible and adjusting to their parents' schedules and so on. Just thank you for doing that. We appreciate that very much, that you do that. I titled the message today, The Corinthian Communion. And that's found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And it's the last half of that chapter. We're also familiar with the first half of that chapter. But it's found in the last half of the chapter 11. And Paul is dealing with a number of issues in the Corinthian church. You could say that church was a mess. But I think every church has their struggles. Every church has their problems. I say every church has their own personality. But in this, he was talking with them. He talked about their disunity, the schisms that were there. They each had, groups had their favorite preacher. Some liked Paul, and some liked Apollos, and some liked Cephas, and so on. And so they were dealing with a lot of different things there. Then in the first part of chapter 16, he deals with the whole area of headship and veiling, and now he comes into the last part, and it has to do with the communion or the Lord's Supper. Now I'm going to kind of use those terms interchangeably, and I know different churches practice that somewhat different. Some always have a meal with their communion. And I thought it was interesting today that we had a meal now before the communion service. And in some churches, that's a regular practice. And evidently, it was here. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to read this first of all. And I realize I've got a battle here this afternoon because this is a time of afternoon when it's easy to doze. And so we've all had a good dinner, a good meal. And I don't think anyone went hungry in this account. It sounds like some did. But I doubt if anybody went hungry. And so let's do our best to try to stay awake. Okay, verse 17 here in chapter 11. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He's saying that this is not the way you eat the Lord's Supper, the way you're doing it, I think is what he's saying. For in eating, every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. And he that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now, the problem here was the misuse and abuse of the Lord's Supper, or we would say the communion service. And he starts out here with a very sharp rebuke to the church. And matter of fact, he said, like I said, this really isn't the Lord's Supper that you're doing. And, but it seemed like they had just really, I'm not sure why all, but they had really gotten out of line in the way they were observing this service. In verses 18 and 19, he said, you've got all kinds of divisions among you. He said there's schisms and so on that are there. Just quickly go back to chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. He says, For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And so that's what he was dealing with. He was dealing with the carnality that was present there in the congregation. And it was showing up in their Lord's Supper, in their communion service. And when things are like that, it does. It is one place and it's going to show up into another place. And so we see now in verses 20 to 22, he describes what's happening. He said this is what he understands is happening there. And he said that when you're eating, he said one is taking and running ahead of the others. I just stood back and observed a little bit today at fellowship dinner. And I didn't see that. I didn't see, oh yeah, there was a line and there was noise, there was talking and that sort of thing. But I didn't see anybody crowding in and saying, I've got, well, of course there is some of us that like that center between those two tables. Have you all learned that? That's the best place there, you know, because you can kind of pick out a boat. But anyway, I didn't see people shoving and trying to get in there first and make sure they got plenty. What I picture that was taking place there was, I think you had, remember they said they got these schisms, I am of Paul. I think you had those that liked Paul, they would sit over in this other one place. Those that liked Apollos, they would kind of sit together over in another place. Those that liked Cephas in another place. And those that didn't know where they belonged, they maybe sat someplace some would say, I'm going to bake some special bread, you know. I'm using my imagination here. But I'm going to bake special bread. And this is just for us people that like Paul. We're going to eat this special bread as part of the communion today. And those that liked Apollos, they said, we've got this special wine. And we're just gonna bring some wine just for us so that we can have that. And don't you remember Jesus told his disciples, drink all of it? And so we're just gonna start out with a big jug. And that's how things deteriorated. They all had their idea of what to do, and it was a very selfish type of thing. Very self-centered in the way that they were keeping the communion service. And so others would go hungry. Others would, they were poor. They weren't able to supply the food and the things that were needed and so on. And so they just simply go hungry. It's one thing I don't know how other churches have done it and so on. But that's one thing I appreciate about our fellowship dinners, and that is we bring things and we share it. It's a sharing type of, a sharing thing. And everyone is welcome to eat and so on. And we often announce, visitors, or if you wasn't able to bring something, that's fine. Go ahead and help yourself. So it's a sharing type of thing that needs to be done. Paul comes to the conclusion over there in verse 22. He says that his conclusion is, what have ye not houses to drink, eat or drink in? And then he used that term, or despise ye the church of God and shame them which have not. See? He said, the way you're doing this is actually you are despising the church. You're holding it in such light regard. It really doesn't mean anything. What's important is me. And so that was the conclusion that he came to. Now, he goes on into those next verses. Those next verses are verses that we oftentimes read at a communion service. And we're very familiar with them. But as I was studying this chapter, I realized that we need to take this and put this whole section into its context. And I believe what he's saying here in these next verses is, I want to explain to you how it should be done. See? You've really misused and abused this, but I want to explain to you now how it should be done. And what I'm going to explain to you is not my idea. This is something that the Lord gave to me. Paul was not at the Last Supper. He was not one of the original 12. I always find it interesting that someone that was not one of the original 12 disciples wrote more of the New Testament than anyone did. But Christ revealed this to him. He revealed it to him. He said, this is what I have received of the Lord, which I delivered unto you. Christ revealed it directly to him of what took place. I have to wonder, there's a time when Paul goes to the apostles, and he said, I went and I checked with them to make sure I had not run in vain. And I had to wonder, did he question them and say, tell me, what was it like that night? What did Jesus do that night? And they would explain it, and he would say, oh, that's the very same thing he told me. And so this was revealed to him. Now, I notice also he says, and that's something that stood out to me in that verse 23, was that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. I found that phrase, I've always seen that, but I just found it interesting. It stood out. Why did he mention that? I think Jesus told Paul this. Paul, that night when I was betrayed, betrayal is something that really hurts. If you feel betrayed by someone, that's painful. Did you ever think, I don't know if I ever really stopped and think how painful it must have been for Jesus when Judas walked up to him and kissed him and betrayed him. And it must have, that pain, he must have experienced that so that when he told Paul, he said, that was the night I was betrayed. You ever notice that sometimes things that really stand out in your life, you never forget. You can tell, you remember where you was, you remember the time, you remember what you were doing, you know. I don't know, was that one of those things with Jesus? I don't know, but I just, took my attention. And so he goes on then, and he said, he took bread. He took bread. And said, when he had given thanks, and there again, that's important, I think, when we give thanks to the Lord for what he gives to us. And he said, he told his disciples, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then, I'm not going to go into a lot of details on that. He also says he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. You know, sometimes people when they come, well, no, I'll say it this way. One of the things that the feeling that I got as I studied this, and as I seen what he brought out here in comparison to what was going on in that church, I get the feeling he was saying, keep it simple. Just keep it simple. And yet it's a very profound service. But he's saying, keep it simple. You don't need to have a great big feast. You don't need to have a lot of eating and drinking and all of that type of thing. And also I think he's saying, don't focus on all the things that sometimes get focused on in communion. You know, we can debate. We can debate in communion, well, what kind of bread? Or we can debate how much bread should be eaten. And people can get bogged down in details. We can get to the cup and we can say, well, is that supposed to be wine or is it supposed to be grape juice? And we can get bogged down in that. Are we supposed to use it all the same cup or are we supposed to use individual cups? You know, we can look at those things and we can get bogged down in those. But that's not what Jesus wants. Jesus said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. I want it to be a time in your life of reflection. I want it to be a time of meditation. Just really stopping and considering and thinking. I want it to be a time of appreciation. Just appreciating what the Lord has done for us here in our lives. I want it to be a time of renewal in our commitment to Him. I want it to be a time of cleansing, personal cleansing in our lives. I want all those things to happen. I want you to remember me, he's saying. Don't focus on all the little details and all the other things that go along with it. Just remember me. And so I think that's very important that you do that. And he says, for as often, verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, I like that. There's two events there that he wants us to keep in focus here in our lives. He wants us to keep in focus his death. He also wants to keep us focused on the fact that he's coming again. Those two things. His death and his coming again. And it's because that his death has to do with our redemption, our cleansing. And we need to continue to let that happen in our lives. That's not a one-time thing. But that's something that needs to continue in our lives. That cleansing that takes place because of the cross. But we also need to focus on the fact that Jesus is coming back. And it's so easy for us to miss that or to forget it. And it's easy for us to just kind of, oh yeah, sure, I believe that. But it's not really reality to us. And so this service here today is to help us to focus on the fact of his death and also that he is coming back again. Now he goes on and he says that the right conditions for this service are important. It's important. The way you've been keeping this, he says to the Corinthian church, is not the right way to do it. And so he goes on and he says that whoever drinks, eat this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What he's referring to, he's referring back to what he said and what he is scolding them about. The way that they have been doing it. The schisms that have been involved. The way they've been eating and drinking and letting others go hungry and all of that type of thing. He says that is not the way. And he says when you do that, he says, you are guilty of the body, and the blood of the Lord. Now, I'd like to just go over to Hebrews chapter 10. It just made me think of this verse over in Hebrews chapter 10, two verses, 28 and 29. It says that in verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And I think what they were doing there is a picture of that. And so this eating and drinking unworthily in that context was what they were doing there in Corinth. Now to us it applies in different ways. Now, I appreciate that we don't keep communion in that way. And appreciate we don't have the Lord's Supper or those types of things don't go on. But other things can. There can be other things in our lives that should not be. And so on. And so he says in verse 28, let a man examine himself and then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I think that idea of examining is not just look at it, but change it. Repent. If there's something that needs to be changed, then change it. In verse 29 it says, but he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. And then that phrase there, not discerning the Lord's body. That phrase stood out to me. What does that mean? Not discerning the Lord's body. Now sometimes we read over these phrases and we just kind of read over them. At least I do. And they don't sink in. I think there's two things that I see here in that not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's body is who? The church, yeah. And I think that he was saying here, you're not the way that you are treating each other, you are not discerning the Lord's body. You wouldn't treat Jesus that way. That's not the way you would treat Jesus. You wouldn't even think of it. If Jesus was sitting here, you wouldn't do that. And yet you do his body that way. And so I think that's one thing that he's saying there, not discerning the Lord's body. I think another thing that's involved in it, and let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says that, there's a lot there, but I'm just going to read verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now, I think we see the work of Christ taking place in that. And we see what happened there. When he was bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities and all that. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, people have had a debate about the healing that takes place there. With his stripes we are healed. But I think for sure we know that it deals with the spiritual healing that needs to take place in our life. And I think that if we take of the communion unworthily, then that's saying we are not really letting those stripes heal us. We're not willing to let the cross and the death and the suffering and death of Christ really bring the healing into our lives that needs to happen. And so I think those two things where we see in the fact of not discerning the Lord's body. Well, I think I'm going to quit there. There's some more things that say after that, but I think that's pretty much the meat of what I wanted to share. But just to appreciate what Jesus has done for us, and how that he wants us, he told us to keep this time of remembering his death until he come again. The Lord bless you.